This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. That, of course, was the theme song to HBO's series The Sopranos, which ran from 1999 to 2007, starring one of America's tough guy actors, James Gandolfini, as one of America's great anti-heroes, Tony Soprano. I call him a tough guy actor because that's what a lot of his roles were before The Sopranos and right up until that. But after The Sopranos ended, he went on to do things like play the mayor of New York. He went on to play the director of the CIA in Zero Dark Thirty, the head of a casino in the incredible Burt Wonderstone, and last year, a light comedy role with Julia Louis-Dreyfus in a romantic comedy called Enough Said, which was released after his death last June at age 51. Now there's a book out all about the real life of the man who made Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, and here's the man who wrote it, Dan Bischoff. Dan, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. In reading your book, I was surprised at how little self-esteem this guy who seemed so confident on stage and screen was.
Yeah, it was. There was almost not a movie he didn't get that he didn't try to quit at some point, and then recommend another actor to do it for him who he thought would do it better. He even tried to get out of. He was arranged to do an audition for Tony Soprano, and he missed the first one. He came to the second one and said he wasn't getting it right. Could he do it later? And then he came to the third audition in David Chase's garage, was there late, and hit it perfectly and got the role. It was as if doing a role, committing himself to a role, made him extremely nervous and shy. He wasn't a bold man like the character he played.
Yeah, that's the thing that really got me in the book, because, again, I knew him from all of his relatively tough guy roles like Tony Soprano. But he were there other times where he would go to the director or the producer and say, look, get somebody else. I know we're a week into this, but I'm blowing it.
Shortly after he was divorced from his first wife, there's a movie called The Mexican in which he starts with Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And he showed up in Los Angeles at the director's office for the movie the day before shooting was going to begin and said he couldn't just get the part. He had to pull out. He had to quit.
Mm.
And the woman who was running the office for the director became his girlfriend for 5 years. She was immediately assigned to keep him happy and keep him on the project. And he turned in this wonderful performance as a gay hitman in that movie. He actually stole that movie from Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt.
Yes, he did.
With his performance. It was incredible. You know, the thing to remember about him, yes, he played tough guy roles, but what he really was a genius comedic actor. The Sopranos was a very funny show in spite of all the grimness. And I sort of have always, and you know, you talk about the anti-hero. I sort of think of him as a combination of Marlon Brando and Carol O'Connor, who played Archie Bunker on TV.
Oh, that's good.
Sort of comic malapropism, but like Marlon Brando, a kind of electric, physical performer who convinced you of the authenticity of his emotion and sort of telegraphed any violent or angry scene that he might do and make you want to urge him, like with Archie Bunker, urge him to be a nice guy, not a terrible guy,
yeah.
You know, and to recover himself. You were really on his side.
And like Carol O'Connor, making somebody love a killer, a guy who did horrible things like Tony Soprano, that was tough. And David Chase and his crew, the way they wrote it, the way they directed it, and certainly the way Gandolfini acted it, made it all work. Was he happy with it through the years? Did he enjoy the success of the role?
Well, I mean, it changed his life. I mean, it catapulted him in terms of money into like the 1% in overnight in a year. In a year's time, his salary increased to the point where he was a wealthy man. He always enjoyed that. I don't think he enjoyed the kind of fame that you get from being a television star, where people think they know you like you're their brother-in-law. There was one story a friend told me about being in a deli on the west side of Manhattan, And a man comes into the deli and sees him there and runs up, says, "Tony, Tony," and takes off his shirt to show that he has Tony's, that is Gandolfini's, face tattooed on his back.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but something like that happens in the Iron Man 3 movie, but it actually happened in real life to Gandolfini. And, you know, how do you respond to something like that? When he was HBO asked him to come and help with their Friday Night Fights, a new show that came just after Sopranos had started, and he was a huge name, you know, and he would go to Madison Square Garden, and at halftime in the Fights program, he'd come out, they'd play the theme song just as you did, put a spotlight on him on a balcony, and the entire place would scream into shouts of, "Tony, Tony." And he would stand there in the spotlight. Usually he'd take a friend with him, and he'd lean over and say, "Be nice to me or I'll have them kill you." he thought this was like really crazy and ridiculous, you know. On the other extreme, Paul, if I could just say,
yeah,
he would sometimes go into a hotel room in a revolving door and see the face of the man on the other side of the revolving door go white because he thought he was Tony Soprano. You know, he'd see this killer coming through the door, and it would, that's not how James Gandolfini, I mean, he's a very gregarious guy.
I mentioned David Chase and the creative crew behind the show. Chase was the showrunner. There were writers there. You say in the book that Gandolfini actually called the writers vampires. Why?
Well, they frequently would use experiences from their actors' own lives in the scripts. For the third year, for example, the storyline was that Carmela and Tony were getting a divorce. They lived in separate rooms, in houses. Tony was pursuing a thing with a girlfriend without telling Carmela. Carmela was fed up. And all of that was so very like what Jim had gone through just the year before, divorcing his first wife, even though she had a son, and then, you know, finding his way in a new life. And that was very close. And everybody on the set heard the echoes of his own experience.
Mm. You and I have both mentioned his light touch at times on The Sopranos and elsewhere, and I mentioned the role that he did with Julia Louis-Dreyfus
in Enough Said
last year, for which he was nominated for a whole bunch of critics' awards. I also remember him doing some light work in Get Shorty as a stuntman, Bear, opposite John Travolta and Gene Hackman, and just doing a terrific job in that as well. Did he want to have more roles like that?
After The Sopranos, he wanted to turn himself into Jackie Gleason in some ways.
Hmm.
He really admired Jackie Gleason. He wanted to do more comedy. He was up to do... You remember the Three Stooges movie that came out a couple years ago?
They had wanted
him to do Curly, and he wanted to do it. But at the last moment, that was one that he did back out of. He thought the script wasn't quite good enough. I mean, it's a Three Stooges movie. The script wasn't good enough, but...
I'm glad he didn't do it.
I am, too. And frankly, the guy from Mad TV who took the role was genius. He was just like Curly. So I can't imagine. But he did... He said repeatedly through his life that I was a 260-pound Woody Allen. I'm really in private life. I'm a 270-pound. As he got older, the weight level goes up. I think it ends with I'm a 300-pound Woody Allen. That's how he saw himself. And if you go back, I did. I went back to his high school and grade school. I talked everyone from his sixth grade girlfriend to the directors of his two last movies. There is another movie still to come out, by the way, called tentatively right now, Animal Rescue, about a bar owner in Brooklyn. And he clearly was, you know, on all of his movies, he sat with the gaffers and the tech crew for lunch. He wasn't someone who retreated into his trailer by himself. He was a very kind of cooperative artist. And I think as time went on, he saw his role as a lead actor as being doing things for the rest of this cast and crew. And in The Sopranos, when he got his first really big settlement, where he was making like $1 million an episode, he met with the 16 regular actors and gave each of them $33,000 and said, thanks for sticking with me.
Wow, very, very nice. Just one of the stories you'll read about in the book, James Gandolfini, The Real Life of the Man Who Made Tony Soprano, written by Dan Bischoff of the Newark Star-Ledger. Dan, thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you, Paul.
My pleasure. This is America Weekend.
America Weekend.